A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word that I too may go and do him homage." After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star. And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. The Gospel of the Lord. I was looking through some research and I came across something that I had found last year that I thought was fascinating. So I want to start with that again, because part of the importance of this solemnity of the Epiphany of the Lord is that it takes a historical place. It actually happens at a certain time in a certain place. It becomes a historical event. The birth of Jesus, I suppose you could say, it happened, some shepherds came by. But this is the one time where God makes Jesus known. He's revealed to the world, the entire world. So these wise men, or magi, which the word means the same as magicians, they were clearly foreigners from the east. I would say not magicians, but definitely astrologers, because they were the ones who had been studying the stars. Well, 2 years ago at the Epiphany in 2021, in the evening, there was a convergence of three planets, Mercury, Jupiter, and Saturn, very low on the west-southwest horizon. It's called the Great Conjunction. And this is how many explain the star event, which would have taken place at the time of Jesus' birth, because it happened at that time as well. It will not happen again, these three planets aligning, until 2080. So I'm guessing I'm not going to see that. A lot of us may not. But world history recalls the Great Conjunction. I say world history will recall the Great Conjunction of 2020 in the context of a great pandemic. The time before that it happened was 800 years before that, in the year 1226. And for fun, I researched the 1220s, and this is what was happening as the stars looked down on us the last time. St. Francis resigned from his leadership of the Franciscan order, and at the same time, the Dominicans were approved by the Pope. Frederick II is crowned Holy Roman Emperor by the same Pope, later to be excommunicated the next year when his power threatened the Papal States. Mongols under Genghis Khan from the east are conquering present-day Central Asia, Afghanistan, and Pakistan, Iran, and the Arabian Peninsula. A brand new architecture called Gothic is becoming popular, but is very controversial because many felt it was too modern.
Under construction are the cathedrals of Chartres, Amiens, Toulouse, York, Minster, and Salisbury in England. The western facade of Notre Dame in Paris is completed this year. The Mayans of the Yucatan revolt against the rulers of Chichen Itza. And in 1226, the church permits adoration of the Blessed Sacrament in parishes. Now, let's go back to 2,000 years ago. We wonder, were the wise men seeking the star even religious? Or were they more like scientists? Who were they? Well, if you see on the cover of your liturgy sheet, there's an image of a mosaic in Ravenna, which our tour group went and saw this past November in Ravenna, and it shows the three magi making their way to the birth of Jesus, and they're dressed like Persians. It's thought that the three names, which you'll see at the very top of the little mosaic there, their three names were actually Persian names. Persia, of course, is ancient Iran. The religion of ancient Iran was Zoroastrian. Zoroastrianism was already 2,000 years old by the time of Jesus' birth, probably the oldest of still existing world religions. By the birth of Jesus, there were other religions that had been in existence already for hundreds or even thousands of years. They could have been Hindus or even Buddhists. Besides them, shepherds were called. I'm sure these were not the only ones who came, but these are the ones who are recorded in Scripture. But these are the main characters, aren't they? It seems strange to me that not even Herod himself was aware of what was happening a few miles away. But he was so corrupt and so self-absorbed and amoral. The land was occupied by foreigners, the Romans, and their own king was a tyrant. Jesus was born into some very tough times. And yet there were still seekers. St. Pope Paul VI, in his encyclical Ecclesiam Suum, foreshadows the beginning of the second session of Vatican Council II in 1964. He speaks about how the church must restore her relationship with the world in the modern age. One of those first steps is to establish humble and honest dialogue with all humanity, not just among ourselves. Up until that time, the church had a mentality to close the doors and keep safe what she had, to protect and defend it from heresy and reject anything else. The church was engaged in a monologue rather than a dialogue. Paul VI said that we need to acknowledge what is good and desirable of all religions in the world, not beginning with our own inner circle, but with all humanity, then those who believe in one God, then Christians, then Catholics. Is that not what we see being inspired from the visitors from the East to the creche in Bethlehem? Jesus came for all of them as much as he did for his own family. And if you pay attention to what Pope Francis is writing, he and Paul VI have exactly the same message. So let's look again at the first reading. It's a context of situations and promises, and even a call to action. Darkness covers the earth, and thick clouds cover the people. Pause for a moment. We can think of so much darkness and so many clouds in our world today, especially considering the past few years. Rise up in splendor, he says. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord shines on you, and over you appears his glory. So our perspective in approaching this scripture, we might think that Isaiah is just speaking about Jerusalem. But I would ask you today, who is Jerusalem? Is it the physical city itself? Or is it the different religions that all inhabit that location? Jesus addresses those who were just simply listening. It's too easy to fall into a trap and think that Jesus is only speaking to Catholics. It's not like we are in the spotlight. We are the spotlight. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. Nations shall walk by your light, and kings by your shining radiance." Back to the first reading. So you ask yourself, wait a minute, nations will walk by my light, and kings by my shining radiance? Look, he says, they will come to you. You shall be radiant. Your heart will throb and overflow. All the riches of the world will be brought to you, and you will lack nothing. Well, we've only had a few days for the truth about Jesus' incarnation to sink in, and it is a mystery that we will continue to discover for the rest of our lives. In the Eastern Catholic and Orthodox churches, the Feast of Epiphany still is the principal celebration of the Christmas season, because it is the very day that this mystery is made known to all of us and to all the world in time and space, in history, and all are called to come and to see the love of God. Even so, this feast day is far more than just a witnessing of the revelation of God's love and the birth of his Son in our world. It is a celebration that we become what we see. It is God's life now that flows through us. We bear the light of God's glory. We illuminate our shortcomings and problems. And with God's help, we become the solution.